Morning.
Good morning.
It's Ben and Karen Woodfield.
Yes.
From Maple Street.
That's us, thank you.
Yeah. So we've been hearing a little bit from KiwiRail the last few days, but we've interposed you before they've finished in the schedule to accommodate your needs, which is fine with us.
Thank you.
And so we have all read your submission. And we understand those points, and this is an opportunity for you to address that submission, make additional comments and supplementary material and so forth. So, and the first phase is that we listen to you, and then if there are any questions, we'll ask you questions. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
So thank you for accommodating us, because we couldn't make it next week. So our story, I just really want to start off with back probably 23, 25 years ago, we had professionals, we had the room full of Ministry of Ed, we had OT, SLT, speech language therapists, occupational therapists, psychologists, everybody come into our home and sit with us and, sit with us and look at our sons and go, gosh, we don't know how you're going to do this. And it was at that point, thanks, Kat, it was at that point that my husband and I decided actually we are going to do it. We are the parents of our kids and we are actually going to set up a life for them and make sure they are successful as much as we can. And that was 25 years ago. Anyway, long story short, life is what it is, and we got this tiny little place in Bunnythorpe, love the country, and we built onto it twice to accommodate the needs of our kids. So I've written, you've got a copy of this, I'm going to read it, probably just calm my nerves a little bit, and then I'll just expand on it. Sorry about the tears. our focus for this is probably a bit different to most people's, and it really is about focusing on the future for our kids, for them to have a home to live in. So we've got two sons on the autism spectrum who suffer with anxiety in differing degrees. We bought the home, it was a small two-bedroom, 30 years ago, and have built onto it for specific needs of our sons twice in that time. We created a safe space, relaxing, peaceful, with a view that helps keep them relaxed. Ultimately, this place can be broken down into two homes where the boys can live without us as parents and have a secured future of somewhere to live that can cater for their needs. Both our kids have extreme sensory issues. So this is when the typical senses of a person are heightened to huge magnification. Sound is the main focus in this situation. So that's a bit like the smallest noise can actually be to someone on the autism spectrum, like scratching a whiteboard with your fingernails. It's quite magnified. Blackboard, not whiteboard. Thank you. You're nodding like you knew what I meant. So this impacts them and how they cope with life across the whole board. This is why we decided to edit this section and focus. In our submission, we talked around the hull and moving the sound hull, if this had to go ahead. And we thought this might, this is why we decided to edit the section and agree with the sound hull. But we still felt like the home is going to be compromised and that KiwiRail should be responsible for making sure our home is as soundproof as possible. So we've talked in here about double glazing. And I bring that up because we have had KiwiRail in our home. We actually had the people come through and actually have a look and use and do photos and bits and pieces like that. And they just suggested that we should just close the windows and they would and put in air conditioning units so that, it's all fine. But we just don't think that's an appropriate process going forward. You can get purpose-built double glazing that can reduce the sound up to 90%, and it will actually give our sons the opportunity to live as stress-free from any external noise as possible. The little bits that I've been reading over the last few days is that, you know, the noise of the traffic, the noise of everything, the magnitude of that, we just don't know ultimately the reality. And what we're really saying is that we want to try and problem solve as much as we can for that. And our property is two-storied. The sound hill will not work for the second story at all. We've put in here things like privacy, the walkway that's meant to be there. We've also noted that there's been no clarity of who will take management of the land between our property and the sound hill as regard to the lengths of the grass, etc. These are just side notes, but it is part of what we put in our submission, and we'd like to really make sure that it's actually, those type of things are actually really important. One of our sons has extreme hay fever. I know you've got to balance out living in the country versus that, but it's just, you know, these things might be really minimal to people. They might pop a pill, they might do whatever, but actually when you have a disability in the mix of it, it can be actually really extreme. So we've got some photos. Where's the lovely man over there who's kind of, excuse our photography, we ran around and, so this is actually Joel's room. So he actually, oh, okay, cool, thank you. Do you want to say anything yet? I'll keep going.
I'll say
something. This is Joel's room because Joel watches the world from this room. He spends most of his day there. And what he can see, and it's not quite so evident, because when you look at it, you focus not on the whole picture, you focus on the interesting bits. And what that's the rail line there. Joel loves trains, and he watches all the trains go past. And he also watches all the traffic goes past, and now most of it goes behind the hill, so a lot of the noise just disappears. But this is his life, is watching, sitting in this room watching it. And as you'll see, next picture. This is me going out there to measure the heights of the hill. Now, if you look there in the centre, you'll see this guy holding up the 3-metre pole, which is the heights of the hill, with a sheet attached. So that when we took the picture, we could actually measure the height. And then we could put the blank out. And that's the height of the sound hill without the shrubbery. And notice that we pretty well have lost even the hills in the background. So it's like his world is going to change as such.
Okay.
Just one other thing. Most people who come into our house, the first thing that they say is, wow, what a view. And it's the defining point, because our whole house is orientated in this direction. It was not orientated for the sun, it was always orientated for the view. So we're actually unusual in that point, that the house is actually orientated this way, because this was the thing that made it peaceful and beautiful. Okay.
Cool. So as Glenn said, that's the view that'll be from Joel's room. This is obviously, that's our TV room. We've just done the downstairs at the stage, and obviously that's what it will be like from our perspective. And then we've got the outdoors, and once again, that's what it'll be like. And I guess in Maple Street, we are the only house that's been actually built in that direction. Everyone else is... they're facing the other way?
Because of the sun.
So we're orientated, we're literally the only one orientated that the living areas are set up. I'll go to this one here. So this is actually the front of the house from the farmland. And so it's all, the top story is all living areas. The bottom part of the top story on the left-hand side is at your TV room. And right at the other end is actually Joel's bedroom. So it's all been orientated actually for the views, for Joel's needs, all of that. So I guess if it was around the other way and we were looking out the other way and or whatever, but it's we purposely went in that direction. So yeah, so we provided the photos. So that's what we've done with the photos. In our submission, we've talked about buildings and other and other activities. We're opposing any new buildings not on the plan. I guess it would be fair to say that I'm not very good with timeframes, but maybe 18 months ago to 2 years ago, we saw the first plans from Kiwi Rail, and then it was about, would it be October last year? Sometime last year, we went back to look at the new plans, and there was such a difference in the two plans. So the first plan, everything was further out. There were no main roads running right in front of us. And I guess for us, who is really focused on trying to set something up for the future, we're just so opposed to anything else going ahead without proper consultation. Because I remember going into the school, looking at the plans, and the person there had, that had set up the plans actually put our house in the midst of us so we could see what it would actually look like. And it was actually really quite shocking to recognise that the without any additional, that I was aware of, and I could be wrong, any additional consultation that I picked up, the plans have gone from this plan into that and it totally revamped a whole lot of stuff. And that was and had put in place a whole lot of do you want to say anything around that? So really what we're saying is we do not want, we're opposed any additional flipping of the plans around the noising or any new buildings or that's not been put onto the plan.
In our area.
Yeah, in our area. I mean, we can't speak for other people. We're here today for our story.
Yeah, no, what I was meaning.
Access roads, sensory needs, also to noise and light, and it's really hard to explain, you know, when we talk about disability, and I've worked in the disability sector for over 20 years professionally, you know, we talk about disability and people, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, someone has a disability. But when you live with it and you know that, you know, if the wrong lighting is put into place, it can cause migraines. It can make someone nauseous. They can vomit. They can have seizures, you know, all of that stuff. When you know that and you have situations happening outside your control where those things are not even potentially being discussed or considered, or no one's come to you and said, actually give us the real story, what you know, what we need to think about. It's quite frightening from a parent's perspective that, you know, we've lived with the for years, and it's not like that anymore, but we've lived with the screaming, the crying, the unable to communicate what's happening to, particularly to our youngest one. And you know, he can't, you know, and he's just, you know, if you live with someone that can't communicate and they're crying for days and days and days, you know, that's pretty toxic. And we're really trying to say, hey, there's some really big factors here that are going to affect us, and we really want ways to problem solve them. We're not the type, as I said, you know, back in 20 years ago when we sat with the Ministry of Ed and all these people were like, well, we don't know what you're going to do. You know, we just meant we're going to problem solve. We're going to sort these things out. We built onto our house. We've set it up for our kids. We haven't gone and gone to, you know, Kāinga Ora and said, oh, give us a house. We need a house for our kids. And we haven't gone and asked the government for a whole lot of things. We want to be responsible. They are our kids and we're responsible, but we're responsible for setting them up for their future. You know, most people in our life that have typical family, you know, their kids leave home at 15, 16 and disappear and get their own lives and everything else. We actually have to think about their future. If we're not here, what does that look like? There's so many factors that have to be factored into it. And I think the fact that potentially, and I talk about it later on, but I'll bring it up, potentially that without, you know, double glazing, even as a minimum, without blanking out, you know, looking at the lighting, without those things, the likelihood of being able to exist, for the kids to actually even be able to live in the house comfortably, is the percentage is really low. We do those things. We actually have no idea how they will cope because there's so many unpredictable factors in this whole situation, and it seems to be changing consistently. And we just don't know. It's just really difficult. So the access roads, we have got. I think I'll go back one. So next to us is a paper road. With the old, grotty, ugly-looking grey fence in that property. but it's on the corner of the farmland and it's on the corner of a thing, and we're really opposed to access from that for the site to and from. And I bring that up simply because someone from Kiwi Rail did comment at one point that, oh, the trucks will be coming in and out of there and coming right across literally in front of you to build the wall, and we're doing this and doing that. And all I can think of is, you've got to be joking. That is just going to be so diabolical. And there are lots of other ways to access the site should it go ahead. But we're just saying we're really opposed to that one. I guess we are concerned about the lack of consideration for those in Maple Street. And because what I've heard in my conversations with Kiwi Rail is we're not affected. When I have gone to ask some questions, they've asked where I live and I said I'm Maple Street and they've said you're not affected. And actually we are. You know, it's, and I think that's just so naive thinking, because we are affected. Everyone in Maple Street everyone's affected in Bunnyhill, it's without a doubt. But to put something right smack in that section and say that the residents or us, you know, residents in that street are not affected is actually crazy. So we're basically going to be impacted in a big way. We're expecting the double glazing. I'm just reiterating this again. We're expecting to have to put in purpose-built double glazing. Oh, sorry.
I just wanted to mention about the double glazing. Talking to the sound guy, he was only talking about cheap options of sound by closing your window and getting some air movement through your place. But when I was at Massey, they proudly went to the engineering place and showed me that they'd built some double glazing in their office next to the where all the metalwork happened, and it was really like soundproof. And the key, of course, is how far apart the glass is. So, you know, whether it's when you're just double glazing for to keep things warm, you only have them fairly close together. But when you're double glazing for sound, you want to get the glass as far apart as possible, like 50 mils or something. And so that's what they did. So if you can double glaze very successfully, but it may require that you actually take out the entire window and put in another one that's actually purpose built. Now there's no point in actually double glazing beyond the abilities of the walls, but you can also increase the soundproofing of walls. There's tons of information out on that. The easiest way being to put a second layer of jib. And already, so that is just to say that they haven't, when they've talked to us, they haven't been looking at proper solutions. They've just been looking at cheap ones.
And honestly, actually not even telling us that they will actually even do that.
Yeah,
not even saying they'll help. They're just, because we're not affected. And that's been the message to us, is we're actually not affected. Sorry.
Well, I'll just mention a couple of things.
Yeah.
Just to point out a couple of things that I've noticed on the newspaper in the last couple of days, and this is a couple of extras. We're not opposed to the rail hub, and we're getting this opinion from the newspaper that there's so many people opposed it and so many people for it. But no, it's not the case. There's people who are for it, but I think most of us think that maybe a bell hub might be a good idea. It's the position which is we're opposed to. And I think you'll find most people are not opposed to the bell hub so much as the position being close to Bunnythorpe or to other things. So it's not a tick for these people for versus against. It's about position. And the other thing that I spotted was the top of the hills. When I was a kid, we lived in Fielding. I loved to go to Palmerston North via Bunnythorpe because we had all these hills and it was like a roller coaster. And it was so much fun. And then over the years, the hills got less and less as they leveled them and made them less. And so it does seem a bit crazy to choose the one piece of ground which is so up and down because you're going to have to move a huge amount of dirt. And from a taxpayer's perspective, because KiwiRail has been running at a loss, I say, is this really the most economic way? Because even if you could have chosen an area which did not affect hardly any people, you've still got to load your produce back on the truck to get it to wherever it's going once it gets off the train. So why did you choose a place that's going to cost so much? Now, I don't really know, but that's what it appears to be. So it doesn't seem totally logical. And the other thing that was in the paper, and that was last night, they were talking about the ecological impact. And the guy was saying that it didn't really matter. And I'm thinking, well, when I came to Bunnythorpe, one of the first stories I was told, you've got to check your boots every morning because there's wetters. Now, wetters are a native species. In fact, they are in the paper just a couple of months ago, they named a new wetter after our Prime Minister, used her name. And she had the honour of giving her name to a wetter. Now, we have wetters. And they disappeared for a long time, and then they started finding them just this year. And have they looked at the wetters? Are they a new species, or are just the common one? Our cat is now bringing in lots of lizards. We just got a cat. Are they just common lizards? Are they natives? And it's like, have they actually looked at this? Or are they just saying, no, it's just, you know, it's all changed? So anyway, I just thought I'd throw in those two comments because it's. I'm wondering how much depth really is going into this.
And I'm now composed.
You're composed. Now you can
I think there's just so many uncertainties. There's no process of evaluation or reviewing stage by stage that we're actually aware of. What happens if a home starts cracking to vibrations? What happens if the noise becomes out of control? What happens around the NZ? You know, there's the NZTA. Stuff which is separate, but it is actually impacting this community. It's impacting us in a really big way. What form of redress is there if things do go ahead? You know, over here I've talked about an MOU or a document written up that protects us as homeowners and guardians of our son's future home around those issues. You know, if in 20 years' time, you know, our sons are in the house and we're not around, you know, it's... You know, I just feel really like there's stuff that has not actually been dealt with. We've also in here talked around the lighting, accessing the lighting, and the plans originally changed from, that originally were around low lighting. That's what we were told, and it's now to high poles, and we have actually talked around the sensory stuff and the lighting and what does that look like, and how to problem solve that for our property. I guess it's going back to the fact that KiwiRail has informed us we're not impacted by the hub over and over again. However, our home has been orientated for the views and the calmness of the place for our family and our children and our kids' future for their needs, and this is changing. KiwiRail is wanting to come within 30 metres of our living areas, our home, we expect the real value of our home to drop significantly. We poured our heart and soul into creating a safe home for both our sons with high needs. And we actually have no idea if they will cope with the changes of all of that, which may force us to move. The ramifications of this are huge, with the expected loss of property value and the reduced ability of what we have set up for them. So if you think about that, you know, say this goes ahead and property values do drop, our sons don't cope, we're forced to sell. You know, who's actually, you know, we could sell our home now and get way more money. Who is actually going to step in and go, well, actually, you know, go find another house for the needs, but sorry, you've lost $500,000 off your property and you can't find something else. And we've got two kids that actually need a home. You know, the ramifications are huge for us. And I will go back to say that RailHub said we are actually not affected. In 2018, the Ministry of Health actually set up in this area as a prototype, Enabling Good Lives. And it's actually it's for families with families and people with disabilities, enabling them to have a good life. The Ministry of Health did a transformation of the disability sector, and it was launched here. And I've been actively involved in that for years. And it's around people and families having choice and actually being included and setting up to have a really good life. And that focus has actually been what Glenn and I have built our lives on. We've altered our lifestyles to accommodate so that our kids have a fair go at the future. And we want them to have a good life. And I guess we're just finding this whole process with New Zealand Rail is far from mana enhancing. It's not inclusive, and I guess, as you can tell, I'm quite emotional about it because I can. The worst case scenario is that, there's a lot in it. That's about probably all I was going to say. I'll probably keep rambling on for ages, but I know you've got a lot on.
Just to back up what my wife's saying, that we have to deal with the consequences of whatever happens, and we will have to one way or another, and we will somehow. But it's another battle that we're having to face along the road, which we really didn't need.
Didn't need, but also that we had actually put in place a whole lot of things, so we didn't have to. So we haven't actually been ignorant parents going, actually, we have kids, let's just ignore their needs. We've actually been incredibly proactive all their lives. And this could, I was going to say derail it, that's not a pun, but it actually could literally derail it.
Yeah.
And we just don't know. So, anyway.
Okay, well, I'll ask my commissioners whether they have any questions. I have to say, I can't comprehend the amount of effort they've had to take to deal with those issues, which is quite heroic. So I can't say I comprehend managing that sort of level of disability, but I can see that it's a huge effort.
Thank you.
Tēnā kōrua. Thank you both very much for being here in person this morning to present your submission to us. I think it's really helped to highlight the deep sense of genuine concern and difficulty that this proposal throws up for you, for your boys and your family into the future. And I just really want to acknowledge you both for that. I acknowledge the difficulty that this proposal is obviously causing you as a family, and I wish I could provide you with the answers that you so desperately need to hear and deserve to hear at this point in time, but unfortunately we're not in a position to do that. What I can do though is assure you that I empathise, and I'm sure we all empathise, with the difficult situation that you're in, and I can assure you that your submission has been heard and that it will be very carefully considered.
Thank you.
Kia ora. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you again.
Morning.
Just reiterate what Commissioner Pumare said. I can probably emphasise a bit more. I have good friends who have children on the autism spectrum as well. And I understand the struggles. I've seen the struggles they've gone through. My own daughter was also on the spectrum. So I do understand and empathise with you as well. Change is really hard. You've obviously been through a lot in your lives, and I can appreciate that this seems just another thing thrown at you to deal with. And we are overwhelmed by the amount of paper that's been thrown our way and how much we have to get our heads around and considering this proposal from KiwiRail. There are a few things that we've seen in what KiwiRail is proposing that might go some way of addressing your concerns. So I just wanted to gauge your understanding and your position on what they're proposing. So one of the things that they have offered is a community liaison forum that would be set up should things proceed very soon after an approval was given. So that forum would provide information backwards and forth with KiwiRail and, allow people in the community to input into processes, have a bit more of their say, find out what's happening next type of thing. Would that help you, do you think?
Well, my experience, unfortunately, has been that in a lot of places that you do say things, but by the time it actually gets to the top, it's either changed or forgotten or it's not considered important. It might make a difference, but if there's no teeth to what you say, or if your concerns are just one of many, it may... I don't know. It's hard to tell. That's my opinion.
I guess, you're totally overwhelmed with information, and honestly, I take my hat off to you for what you've got to work through. We probably get a little bit overwhelmed with life and everything else as well, and so it's got to have real substance to work. Whatever's got to set up, it's got to be authentic and real. And that, I know that probably sounds cliche, but I just kind of feel that I'm not really sure how much we really have been listened to. The info coming out my way and it doesn't necessarily show that. And I'm not sure if it's just a tick the box opportunity or whether it really is going to have some framework around it and some real strong accountabilities around what that looks like, because I think there have to be some accountability. They're going to hold these opportunities, but who's going to hold to account actually what we are saying or what people are feeling or whatever? I'd like to see some framework around what that actually looks like. Does it make sense?
Yeah, no, it does make sense.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. KiwiRail have also proposed a few conditions around the noise and vibration side of things, and we were talking yesterday with the noise expert for KiwiRail and testing him on this, and there was some discussion about house condition surveys in terms of the impact on vibration and how KiwiRail would actually assess whether houses were being impacted or not, and then what would they do about it if they were. So just, I suppose that's not a question to you, but just to let you know that those are things that are top of our minds.
Yep, cool. Thank you for that. Yeah,
so thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate it. It's a really daunting situation. Thank you.
As Glenn says, we'll do what we do. If it was actually just us, like this was just our home, yes, we'd be annoyed. Yes, we'd probably still argue and whatever. But you know, we need to leave. You know, we need to know that our kids have a home for their future, and we're responsible for that. And that's quite daunting to think that actually we don't know if that's actually going to be the case. What does that look like? And, you know, housing in New Zealand is shocking. Housing for people with disabilities is shocking. It's really hard. The worst case scenario is that, you know, yeah, I didn't want to go there. I know what the worst case scenario could be. But it's we're here to fight for our kids, actually, and the fact that they won't be homeless or anything in the future. And one of our sons can't do that. Well, actually, neither of our sons can do that. We have to do that for them. And they're 27 and 29. Yeah, well, 27 and 29, and our youngest is kind of like 5. As in, like, he's 27, but he's a bit 5. So.
Yeah. I understand that.
I would like to add my thanks for you coming in today. As has already been mentioned, we do appreciate it can be very daunting. It's very hard, and this is clearly something that is very, very important to you. And is causing you upset and stress.
Sorry, I had no intention to cry.
It's absolutely fine. We totally understand. This is your home.
Mm.
I do have one question, and this came up through our discussions with the sound expert, Kiwi Rail, yesterday. And one of the things that he has tested through his noise modelling is the potential ability to move the noise bund further away from Maple Street. And I was just wondering whether that being further away from your home might be helpful.
In the initial plan, it was further away. And then in the new plan that shocked us, it did come closer. And I guess you can probably speak to that a bit more, Glenn, but didn't he say that if it was closer, it would be less noise?
We looked at it, and originally we thought, if it was further away, we would see more. But then we realised that, but he said it would not work as well. And so we thought, so that's why we thought a little bit of view might have been helpful. But the reality was that we came to conclusion we were better off with it closer. It also, if we're able to use the upstairs, it does actually, being closer, allow us to look over the top. Whereas if it's further away, it actually cuts out more of everything. I think we decided that the noise was more important to cut down than the view. So we give up our view. But as you can see, that's going to come at a cost for Joel. And the second story is the separate, the house is designed that is going to be like a separate house by itself. So it's not like either you're going to be up or you're going to be down. And we thought that one kid would be probably end up up and one would end up down, but we're just going to have to sort it as it goes.
I guess, and we just talk, you know, we just, I guess the sound was one of the priorities, and the sound guy did indicate that being closer, and that's that. I mean, my idea was it was further away, and if they could guarantee that the sound was going to be, if the sound was going to be not as bad, you know, that's good. But what about the land in between? You know, will they do something with that? I don't know. There's just so many. Are we going to get caught in a, you know, these 2 acres in front of us, and then suddenly they'll put up something else? It's just so unknown. Does it make sense?
It does. And thank you for your answer.
Can I just add one thing? I looked into this, and the key for cutting the sound out down is actually at its source. Now, there's a lot of things that they can do. and that potentially they could do to cut the sound at the source. Now, you know, people have said, well, why don't they just put little bits of rubber on the, you know, the ends of where the wagons clang together, so they no longer clang, and or some rubber bushes, and I think the biggest problem is the squealing as they go around corners, and they can lubricate things like that. So, and we're not actually seeing any real sign that they are actually majoring to try and cut the sound at its source. But if they did it well enough, then we wouldn't have a problem to even require. So, yeah, it's when we first looked at it, we thought they might be taking our view for something that might not happen, because they might be far enough away and they might be quiet enough. But we've been assured that it's going to be noisy. And the worst part about it, they said, people are saying, is even when they give a level, it could be that's an average level, so you could have these bangs in the night which go really loud, but then the average sound is quiet. And so, I mean, there's all sorts of potential options of, you know, not allowing too much movement in the night, because the night is when you hear the sound, because there's no background sound. But you could go down that for a long time.
I guess it would be really good down the track that we just know what's going on, that we actually, they communicate, that they talk to us, you know, be part of it, and not necessarily make decisions thinking. I think the thing is around disability is that people often make decisions thinking they know actually what the person needs without actually having conversations and gathering that information and actually kind of thinking it through.
Thank you very much for your answer. I appreciate
Sorry,
your time.
Sorry, that was long-winded.
That's fine. This is your time. Thank you.
Just have some questions. What's the size of your property?
700. Oh, you mean the house?
No, the section size.
Section size is 750.
And so that runs from the edge of Maple Street right to a rural boundary?
We're that section.
Right. So you access from a right of way, do you?
Yeah,
we access with our neighbour.
Right. So
that
you're
section, so Maple Street, there's a little white house in front of us.
You can see on the picture.
We're
in the back of that.
Where the big tree is, where that's our property at the back. So we overlook the farmland.
Oh, I see. And that's the empty section that you're talking about.
It's a paper road. That's the one we're concerned that's going to become a main.
That's paper road owned by the Council. City Council.
We think.
We don't know. Questionable who owns it.
Right. And your fence looks to be, from the photos you gave us, adjacent to the rural property, to be a sort of settler-type fence, a wooden paling.
It's a farm fence which we put wooden palings on the other side of it.
So you actually added that, the palings on the other side.
Yeah.
And is that just pastoral activity at the moment on that land?
Yes.
And are there tractors and things that go past and stuff like that which would disturb Joel and...
It gets turned into hay, probably it goes to hay every, so once a year they come in and do the hay bales, but that's once a year type thing. And we just shut the, he's fine with stuff like that if you've got the preparation and he can see it coming, and we can put earmuffs on him, you know, but it's just a trap, yeah.
It's normally just got some beef stock on it. Sometimes milk and sometimes cows, which are dried off and stuff like that, but it's just beef.
So it's mainly beef with a bit of dairy support, is that?
Yeah, well, it has been leased out to dairy farmers who have put their sort of dry stock on them.
Yeah.
But at the moment, but it generally just has quite big ones there.
Does the existence of the paper road indicate that there was some plan for other housing on that land?
What happened was that when Bunnythorpe was originally put together, it was supposed to have had the where the railway was, but because the railway, and they built it like it was going to be a big town, that's where all the sections came from. But somebody who had some clout pulled it over to Palmerston North. So what was going to be Mugby Junction, which was going to be the place that grew, became Palmerston North instead. But what we ended up with was we had all these things, but nobody really wants to build there because there's got the power pylons going straight across there, above them.
Right, so there's power lines where?
Right through that paddock, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Big pylons, but on the plans it has actually, so it is a paper road and it hasn't, I'm pretty sure I've seen plans that indicate that it was semi-sectioned, as in like it's actually, it had been sectioned potentially for housing down the track.
Yeah, so that old sort of early design
layout.
Like you see in Halcombe, I've seen plans in Halcombe where there's all these sections, even Rongatea, same, all these sections marked out in the old survey plans, and the paper roads are still there.
Yeah.
But the sections have never been created.
Yeah. So, yeah.
An interesting bit of history about Bunnythorpe being a logical location for a railway, major railway connection, historically.
Mm.
Yes. It's like, there's a lot of. And Bunnythorpe has a history of losing out. It really does. They took away the railway, and now that they don't want it, they want to send it to us. We've had other things that have happened, which have really, for example, they decided to send it over to Palmerston North. Now we thought we might have been in democracy, but no, we didn't even get, even though most people opposed it, the decision was taken out of our hands and there was no vote. It was decided by councillors who was in their interest.
What are you talking about?
So what I'm saying is,
but when you moved into the territory of Palmerston North,
it's such.
Hmm.
But that's another behind the scenes thing.
Right, so as a community, as a person in the community, you identified more with Manawatū than Palmerston North?
I identified with the fact that that there was really decisions made without asking, without really taking note of what people were saying. And money changed hands as a result. A lot of people were upset. Now, Palmerston North has been better to us than Manawatū, because Manawatū ran the town right down. They took our rates but never fixed up the problems. But Bunnythorpe has had that whole thing taken advantage of in reality, that you can see when you talk to some of the people.
Yeah, it did strike me that it had declined in the years that I was aware of it, say 89 to 2017, in terms of just the infrastructure and the housing quality and so forth, they were quite difficult times.
Our street is hugely improved where we live, because all the trees and everything is growing up and it looks, and places have been developed. So we've gone up.
There seems to be an increase in the recent years in high quality properties taking advantage of the nodal provisions in the old Manawatū district plan, where you could build larger properties in that sort of rural location within a defined area. Mm. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, around. Well, I mean, I have. I mean, it's actually, to be honest, it's actually becoming what I think a really sought after area, in the sense that people, takes us 6 minutes to town. It's rural. It's got that rural atmosphere. You know, it's got a community atmosphere, and it's and people love it. People like to be, you know, there's a lot of houses. Even I'm surprised with the little subdivisional pockets of houses, big homes that have been, you know, built on different country roads out there.
Yeah.
So it's not just, I mean, obviously we hear about our thing today, but it's a rural community. It's actually a safe spot for our son, actually, because he did wander, and you say Joel's missing, and you'll get the neighbours going, oh, off we trot, let's, you know, whatever. You kind of know that he's safe, and because he does wander, and he can go down to the cemetery, and we know, and he wants to go look at those gravestones that have got trains on, and he will wander, and we're mindful of that, but you also know that the community know him, and that he, you know, it is safe. That if he does duck out, we're aware of all of that. So the safety element of it is huge from our perspective.
The noise expert for KiwiRail said that there was an opportunity to build the bund in the Maple Street location earlier in the phasing, which would also protect you from some extent the wider construction noise and activity. So in a sense, giving you some protection. Would the construction of the bund earlier help you if it was to occur?
Yeah.
Our concern is this. At the moment, we understand that there's only something like $40 million that they have, and that the actual KiwiRail hub is going to cost in the billions. What we don't want to have happen is have the bund built and then suddenly find that they don't have the money to build the rest of the KiwiRail, and so we've just lost our view for no reason.
Or Joel's.
So my initial thought is most of the stuff is going to be far away to start with, you know, most of the levelling. So I personally would think that it's not a good idea to put it there first in case it ends up being there and the rest of the project doesn't go ahead, because that would be losing both ends. However, and trucks, they make loud noises, but it's the KiwiRail high-pitched squeals that are more likely to be the bigger problem on the rails. So my opinion, and my wife might disagree, is that, and we actually have it in our thing, is not to have it there first, just in case it never quite makes it, because the government runs out of money.
I'm not quite sure we can get down to that micro detail of management, but that's at least a thought, because KiwiRail have identified Maple Street presumably as a place where they could make some early wins in terms of landscaping and design and noise bunding. But inevitably, if that sort of physical works is to occur, how would your children cope with the activity of machinery constructing those bunds and moving those earthworks? And that in itself is a significant activity. Would it be a matter of would it have both blessings and things in the sense that there would be an interest, or is that naive?
No, I mean, particularly for Joel, there could be an element of interest, but I guess it depends on. There's so many variables in it. Like we've said, we're really opposed to using the paper road as an access road into actually doing stuff like that. So if that paper road was used with trucks in and out all day, and then there was also the construction of the bund as well and everything else, you know, that could be way too much. If there was a different access point and it could see it happening on a slower basis, so you know it starts at one point and it kind of adjusts to it, but it'll be the full frontal boom, you know, in the paper road, this is what's happening, da da da. So It's an unknown, but there are things in the equation that can actually help process that. And the full frontal, but this is going on, boom, would be too much. But a slower process, we can work and adapt around that. But there are just some areas that would just literally, like I said, using the paper road as an access point all day, every day would be honestly diabolical.
Yeah, so it strikes me that you're really keen to be able to navigate what's going to come along and manage it as best you can. That's the way you've
done things. That's who we are.
So that whole communication and input into methodology and approach to development by Kiwirau is absolutely critical from your point of view, because you need to know what you're going to confront and how to manage it.
Yep. And not just, but I just think it would, having input into that so that they understand, So, yes, I mean,
All right. No, thank you very much for coming along. It's been very helpful for us to understand that, and have to acknowledge your journey has been a very difficult one. Looks like a lovely property. Is it a cedar finish, is it, with colour steel roof?
It's fibre. It's just a fibre
light. I actually built it myself with my own hands. We used a hardy plank, but we used a wood grain stain effect on it.
Yeah.
To do that. Colour steel, and of course the stainless steel balustrade you can see going up as well, which was built by me and my brother.
We basically tried to build a low maintenance property that actually down the track can be looked after.
And is it about 250 square metres in size?
About 280, 285.
Yeah, cool. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll probably have to go. Yeah.